Well, hello everyone, and welcome to our second session in this new series we just undertook last week called In His Image, My Identity. I look forward to today to sharing with you some more things as we try to build on this foundation and make sure our foundation is sure as we pursue seeing ourselves and understanding the work that went on that enables us to be made righteous. And not only that, make it part of our identity, as well as many more elements, including walking in His love. And I think that's going to be good for us today. I want to start with a quick review, but before that, we'll pray together. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Father, even as I know we're going to be talking about Your Word today, I thank You for giving it to us to shore up, to make sure the foundation that we have, because Your Word is truth, and You are faithful to Your Word. So today, open the heart, as we open our hearts to You, reveal Yourself through Your name, through Your Word, and through Your creation. Reveal Your heart that You have for us. And it's in Jesus' name we ask that and receive it. Amen and amen. We started last week talking about, my God, this is who He is. And today, to be honest, we're going to continue in that vein as we begin talking about created for His pleasure. But before we do, let me just review a couple of things. We looked last week at the fact that Moses, who had seen more of the glory than anyone of the Lord, had fellowshipped with Him. Before he knew Him, though, he asked, who should I say is sending me? And that's the question, as we said last week, we need to answer too. So what did we see? We saw that the Lord described Himself as three in one. In Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God. And that word is Elohim. And Elohim means strength, or really means deity as well. But it was what? In the plural form, meaning there's more than one. And then in verse 2, it talks about the Spirit of God hovering. So we know that it was more than one. In verse 26, he says, let us make man in our image. And we gained some understanding. And let me just say, that's a really important thing. I almost jumped right through that. Let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. And you're going to see the reason today that we were created in His image and in His likeness. In John, the first chapter, the first couple of verses really say that He was with God in the beginning, and all things came into being by Him. So here we see and have disclosed something that wasn't really talked about, the Trinity, in the Old Covenant, but we see it begin to be unfold to us with the Old and the New. But in addition to being three in one, what do we also know? Or let me say that differently. In addition to being three, we also know they were one, as in Deuteronomy 6. The Lord said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. One translation we looked at said, Jehovah is one Jehovah. And so all of this, as we talked about, including some of the very nature of the Father, was not openly disclosed until we get some understanding of some things in Psalms coordinated with our new and better covenant. So three, yet one, but what? But the only one. Jesus said in John 73, this is eternal life, that they may know You, and He called in His Father, the only true God. We saw Isaiah take the word of the Lord, where he says of the Lord speaking through Isaiah, says, don't tremble and be afraid. Have I not long announced it to you and declared it to you? And you are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? Or is there any other rock? In other words, is there any other sure foundation? And then the Lord God says, I know of none. So what are all else? Everything else that makes Himself as a God in our life, or people believe in wooden images and graven images, is an idol. And an idol is something that will take you away from the truth of the Lord. We then looked at His name, the name, And this was really the answer of Moses' question to the Lord of who's going to send me. In Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh, have sent me to you. So this word I am comes from the Hebrew word H-A-Y-A-H, which literally means to be, or more clearly, it really means I exist. And it's normally translated Lord. Now, we'll see it also referred to as Jehovah or the Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh without any vowels in it that I mentioned before. But I want you to think about when he said this now, this is a big statement. I exist. In other words, what's he saying? We looked at this. I was, I am, and I will be. But what he's really saying here is all that is was from me, and all that will be is from me. He's saying he is the only eternal one, and then that's part of the reason we're made in his image. So it's a big statement. But we also saw in this some of the same discourse his nature being revealed. After Moses had delivered the children of Israel, the Lord delivered them with Moses, through Moses. And this is a key part now of us being founded, is understanding that his nature is revealed in his name. And by the way, that name you're going to see today is ours as well. But in Exodus 33, he told Moses, said, I want to see your glory, more of your glory. And he said, okay, I'm going to, because you can't see my face, I'm going to put you in a rock with my hand, a cleft, a cutout place, which we talked about how that could represent Jesus, a place of sure standing for us. And then he said, what? I'm going to let all my goodness pass by you. In the next chapter, in the sixth verse, let's just recap what he said. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed. Now, I find this interesting. The Lord sees it beneficial for him to proclaim his name. Should we not also proclaim the name of the Lord as we're encountering difficulties in this life? So the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and then it says, abounding in goodness and truth. Now, we're going to come back to this today because we see that some have used a different word than truth. So just kind of make a mental note of this. But think about it. Abounding in goodness. And this is a covenant word, hased, covenant love, loving kindness. And that ties also directly to truth because that's the oath that he made and an affirmed with blood. In fact, we'll see that. We kind of close by saying 1 John, talking about 1 John 4:8, which simply says concerning God, he is love. Or the Holy Spirit is declaring God is love. So today, I want to just move into the fact that we were created for his pleasure. So let's go back to a focus on the creation of the earth. But as we do this, I want you to think about the name of the Lord, the three, the one. I also want you to think about his nature of what? Of goodness and of love. So let me ask the question, why was the earth created? And I would answer it this way, even though the Old Testament really doesn't say it. It's not till we get to the new we understand it. He created the earth because of his nature as a father. Now, why do I say that? Well, what does a father love to do? He loves to do good things for his own, and he likes to love on for his own. So he created the earth for something greater than just having a beautiful garden here, a place that we don't see any other atmospheres like it in this galaxy that as far as we can tell. But he created a place for us. Now, why is that important? Well, how was creation culminated? With the what? The creation of man in his likeness and his image. And so we begin to see then, only when Jesus really comes to the earth, that father nature depicted Yet I'm saying to you now, and I think you'll see it more clearly, that he created man for his own desire, out of his own desire, for fellowship with us. And so you're going to see, as we talk about the Father nature and Jesus, you're also going to see how that same nature applies to you and I. His attention, Jesus' attention, the Holy Spirit's attention toward you and I. So let's look in Matthew, the 3rd chapter, and we're going to start in verse 13. And I want you to see a couple of things with this. We're going to see the Father's view on His Son and the Holy Spirit's desire to be with the Son. And you're also going to see some things about us in these same verses. So it starts off in verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized to you, and you're coming to me. John was really the only other person who Jesus had been revealed to. And so John knew the position he had. And he couldn't understand why Jesus would come to him for baptism instead of it being the other way. But look at what Jesus begins to say, and I'll read these next three and then we'll talk about it. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus is it fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Now I told you, as we started this study, righteousness is going to come up again and again. And you're going to just see increased importance. And I believe we're going to see our faith increase to be able to walk in this righteousness, to walk from this righteousness. And it says, then John allowed him. And when he had been baptized, now let's just stop there. When we are baptized, what are we doing? We're being immersed as submitting ourselves to death, and then we're raised back up. So here's Jesus, and he'd done the same thing, yet sinless. So when he had been baptized and Jesus came up from the water, as immediately it talks about this happened then, the heavens were opened to him and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now we need to recognize at this time, no miracles. His ministry had not started yet. But the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. And it's a demonstration of, I believe, the Father. Look at what the Father called him, my beloved Son. So it's a demonstration of their love for Jesus and wanting to be with him in order to fellowship with him as a man on this earth. And that should be the same thoughts that we have about ourselves today. And we need to just understand this through John 17:23, where it says, talking about Jesus speaking, talking about us, in the end of that verse, Father, I want them to see that you love them just like you love me. And I know we've said that one several times, but it's so important in what we're talking about today. But let's go back to verse 15. Notice Jesus' response, fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, there are several things that I think we need to point out for this. The first thing is that I want you to begin to see here, as I talk through this, that you are on the mind of Jesus when he's being baptized. Now, you may say, well, how is that the case? Well, what is Jesus doing? He's lowered into the water, sinless, as a sinful man would be, though. And so what is he doing? He is first identifying with you and I as a man. But then it's more than that. Secondly, he's doing it as one who would righteously fulfill the law while here. In a prophetic manner, this act is declaring that. And what's he here to do? To die for our sins, for that great exchange, in this baptism is what he is prophesying that he's going to do. Now, The third thing, then, is as he's raised up, he's doing this to create an opportunity so that you and I could identify with him as the risen one. So it's a prophetic act, but he's opening the door for you and I to be able to identify from him as the risen one. And then the final thing, and thus do what? Be made the righteousness of God in Christ. To fulfill all righteousness, then, he had to live as the righteous one under the law. But he did it identifying totally as a man. Now, it's also important, because we can see ourselves in this, that you see this. Also in these verses, in verses 16, end of 16 and 17, we also see here that he is both proclaimed, and I'm going backwards in this maybe a little bit, as the Son of God. And also what happens? He's baptized with the Holy Spirit. And can I just tell you that both of those are things we should be pursuing and partaking of? So we see ourselves in this prophetic act that Jesus goes through. We can begin to see ourselves and our identity in what he is doing here as he proclaims, the Father proclaims, what he's here for and giving of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to mention to you now, and I'll tell you that we're going to be getting into redemption next week. But what I want you to begin to see is that his focus here is fulfilling righteousness. And I'm going to tell you today that the righteousness part is so important because I believe righteousness is really the object of his redemption. Restoring us in right standing with the Father. That's what this whole redemption was about, so that he could what? So that he could place us back in that rightful place as a son in fellowship with the Father. And without righteousness, we could never approach it. And I'm going to stop there because there's three or four other things that we'll be saying about that. So you just have to tune in probably starting in next week's. Now, let's look at another one. In Matthew 28, verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 19, we see the Father really coming to bear here again with the Son and Holy Spirit, all three, yet one in each unique way that they hold. Go therefore and make disciples, Jesus is telling his disciples this, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and in the Holy Spirit. Now, what is he doing here? He is creating identity as he does baptizes in these three ways, that each of these three is a part of our identity. We're in union with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Redeemer in whose righteousness we partake of, and it's because of the love of the Father for us and his desire for a relationship. So, what is our assignment that we see here? Our assignment is to be an agent of reconciliation. In other words, proclaiming who Jesus is so that others can have this same right standing, can be made righteous with him. And let me, one other way you might say that is they're coming, is that he's charged us to go out and reconcile so that others can have fellowship with their Father. John 14:23. I think this is an example of what I would term the ultimate fellowship. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." Now, isn't that interesting that we will come to him because of the Father's love? It's really what initiated it. And we will make our abode with him. And what did we just say? That we've been made in union with the Holy Spirit. Now, without righteousness, this would not have been possible. So again, we begin to see righteousness creep in as the object of our redemption. Ephesians 3:14 and 15. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father," Paul is writing, from whom every family in heaven, and there's not a period there, or there's not a semicolon, every family in heaven and on the earth derives its name. Saints, we have the family name given to us because of the union we now have and because of this place of sonship. The Father's name has become ours. Now, there are a number of others, but for time's sake, we're not going to go through them all here today. I want to look at a little different slant on this. And this is, I'm going to use a Psalm of David to get into it. But we as mankind were created to be the children of the one, the only, the true God in the universe who dearly, dearly loves you. And this is a totally new concept. And I want you to see how the angels reacted to this. In Psalm 8, verses 4 and 5, David is declaring, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" And then it goes on to say, "For you have made him," talking about man, "a little lower than the angels, and you've crowned him with glory and honor." So let's look at verse 4 first, and then we've got some explanations on verse 5. What is man that you're mindful of him? And then it says, "And the son of man that you visit him." Now, King James and New King James say visit. The New American Standard says, "Who's the son of man that you care for him?" The Young's Literal says, "Who's the son of man that you are mindful of him?" So what do we see in those really three words? We see a desire of the Father for what? Fellowship. He cares about his son. You're on his mind. He wants to fellowship with you. Really, that word visit means this: to recall, to remember, or to be on his mind, or on one's mind. In this case, his, the Father. That's you and I. This is why we as mankind were created, and all that was lost when Adam sinned. But the fifth verse is really interesting. In verse 5, it says, "For you have made him a little lower than the angels." So the angels are looking out and saying, "What is this creature you've made?" And I can paint you a good argument that we are made lower than the angels in terms of being limited by this fleshly body we have today. That's going away one day. And you know we're not subject to the angels. They are subject as born-again believers to you and I. The words that are used are really important here. The word for angel here is that same word we looked at, which is in plural form in Genesis 1, Elohim. And it's used over 2,600 times in the Old Testament. And almost 2,400 of that 2,600, it's translated God. So here's what the New American Standard says: "Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and does crown him with glory and majesty." And there are a number of other translations that translate it the same way. I personally believe that this is the most accurate rendition for it, although I cannot argue about the fact, as we said, this earthly body limits us. Now, we often stop here, but I want us to go on to verse 6. Verse 6 here says, because when we skip here, we miss an important part about this mankind and what God, he was created to do. He goes on and says, "You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hand, and you've put all under his feet." Now, he's talking about Adam here, but I want you to begin to see the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, those as one, are mindful of us, and they are faithful to us. Just as the Father gave authority to Adam, he's also, as a born-again believer, restored all this to us, including making us righteous as Adam was, even though it's in the righteousness of our Jesus. All because of what? He wants fellowship with us. Now, here's what I want to say one more time. Please note, to do this, We had to be created in His likeness and His image. We had to be a spirit. We had to possess a soul. But we had to have an earthly body. But because we've been made a spirit being, and now a made from above, born from above spirit being, then we can fellowship as a man or a woman, man and women both equally, as what? As a son with Him. Saints, Jehovah, the God of the universe, wants to walk and talk with you and lead you and guide you daily in His way. Now, we've talked a lot about creation and how was the earth created? How was man created? By the spoken words. I need to talk for a moment about the integrity of His word. Think back to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Talking about Jesus. Verse 17 says, grace and truth came through Jesus. Now, why am I saying this? Because we must begin to see the Word of God as one of the ways that we have relationship or fellowship with the Father. In Exodus 34, verse 6 that I read earlier, I want to read you the New Living Translation. The Lord passed in front of Moses calling out, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. And He says, I'm slow to anger, and I'm filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Now, we talked about the fact what unfailing love, which was translated goodness before, was His covenant oath to us, hesed. But this word that is described as faithfulness in the New King James is also the same word for truth. Now, if you look truth up in the Hebrew language, it's the word emet, and it means stable. It also means certainty, trustworthy, and truth. But it's translated many times, faithful. So I want you to begin to see truth and faithful. His word is true. His word is faithful. I want you to begin to see these in an equivalent or an equal manner. And to do that, we've got to see the word as always trustworthy when we act on it in faith. And it's also key to us because now you can get a better glimpse of how faith comes through love because of all this that we've seen. He did it all because of His love. But think about His name now, the name that is above all names. All that was, all that is, all that was, and all that will be is from Me. Psalm 138, a psalm of David, the first two verses. David's writing and he said, I will give thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to Thee before the gods. I will bow down toward Your holy temple and give thanks to Your name for Your loving kindness, hesed, goodness, and Thy truth. Now, again, this word truth can be translated, what? Faithfulness. And then he makes this statement, for Thou hast magnified Thy word according to all Thy name. Now, I'm reading this from New American Standard because I think it's the most accurate. King James says, above Your name, I have magnified Your word. Thou hast magnified Thy word above Thy name. But this word really means according to or in proportion to. So what he's saying here, there is nothing higher than My name. I am. And he's saying, I'm placing My word to you, this written word that we have before us. I am placing it to you and giving it to you for fellowship, to learn about Me, to be conformed to My image that I created you in. And you can trust it just like you can trust Me. You cannot separate the word of God from the person of God. His name and His word are equally high. Now, let's look at some scriptures. He is faithful to perform His word. His word is truth, which will come to pass. Two different phrases I could use. Jeremiah 1, 11 and 12. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And he said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Now, an almond tree is important because this is a tree that blooms and really early and produces fruit. And it's that combination. It was also referred to a lot in context of Israel. And then verse 12 says, "Then the Lord says to me, 'You have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word.'" Now, the New American Standard here says, "You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." Now, we see this, and I'm not going to read all these verses. I'll let you read it in Hebrews 6:13-19. And this is where he's talking about giving a promise to Abraham. Abraham patiently endures, and it comes to pass. And then he begins to talk about that God wants to show to the heirs of the promise, you and I, the unchangeableness of his purpose, of his word, of his being. And he wants to do it with an oath. But he doesn't just do it with an oath. He does it with his words and with what? Covenant blood of Jesus that he cut with. So I want you to see that he says that this assurance that we have of his word being so true is ratified, is made sure by the blood of that covenant as well as his word. And he wants us to have it as an anchor of our soul. Always have hope, no matter what situation, because of the word. Mark 16, Jesus is charging the disciples in Mark's rendition of this. And he says, "So when the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven. And he sat down, finished, at the right hand of God." And then it says of the disciples, "And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by signs that followed." So he was watching over the word to perform it, like the almond tree, to do what? To bring forth fruit. But I want you to pay particular attention. Now, I've said this some before. The word in verse 20, "them," is added. Now, I understand why they would add it. But I want to read this to you without that added word. "And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with and confirmed the word." And do you see that? That is so important for us, by the signs and wonders. And saints, that's why I tell you this Reinhard Bonnke quote, that he said, "My words," the Lord spoke to him, "my words in you are just as powerful of my words in my mouth." So we need to be speaking that. We remember that in Hebrews, that the world was created by his words. And what do we know? It was his nature to create that way. So that says to you and I that we ought to be doing the same. Now I want to close with these two verses, which will take us into redemption next week. In John 17:17-18, it simply says, "Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth." Thy word, what do we know now? Is faithful. And then Jesus goes on and he adds to it, "As thou didst send me into the world, I have sent them also into the world." Saints, that's the answer for you and I on the opening question that we started with last week, when Moses said, "Who should I say send me?" Who should we say send us? And we can say our Jesus, because he was doing the will of the Father and the desire of the Holy Spirit. Three in one, the only one. He was the firstborn from the dead, and we also by the word of the Lord. And now we also are born, as we're about to see, by the word as well. Finally, in James, and this is a foundational truth for us, James 1:18, the A part only. New American Standard, "In the exercise of his will," or I might say in the desire of his will, it was his strong pleasure to do this, "he brought us forth by the word of truth," his name and the word. The New Living says, "He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession." This earth is not his prized possession. We're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. What endures? His man. You and I will live forever while this earth doesn't. The Passion says it in a great way also. "God was delighted to give us birth because of by the truth of His infallible Word, so that we would fulfill His chosen destiny for us and become the favorite ones of all His creations. His Word, His name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit must be the basis of truth, of the faithfulness of the Word in our lives, nothing else. This is, folks, my God. This is who He is, and He loves me. So let me say it this way. This is our God. This is who He is, and He loves us. I know that's the title for a song, but as I begin, pray about these sessions, that's what the Lord took me to and then led me to all these scriptures. We love you guys, and we'll pick up next week and look at the work of redemption that enabled you and I to be made the righteousness of God.